Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome in Steelers General Manager Kevin Colbert on that fan hotline brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Hall & Capitis. Kevin, good morning. You holding up? Everything okay?
Good morning, Colin. Yeah, everything's great. You never know how things are going to work out. We won't know. You know, talk to me in February. Talk to me 3 years down the road, and I'll let you know how this class was.
Absolutely. And we'll dive into this class just a little bit, maybe piece by piece right now. Chase Claypool, the first piece. There are these graphics out there with Calvin Johnson comparisons. Is that upside real with Calvin Johnson comparisons? And also, what are the realistic expectations of Chase Claypool for this season, for his rookie season?
Yeah, I mean, we never get into trying to compare somebody to – you know, a great player of a different era or anything like that. You know, Calvin Johnson's was a unique talent and a unique NFL player. But, you know, with Chase, you know, we always liked his size and his speed and his receiving abilities, but his competitive nature and his strength and his willingness to be aggressive in the special teams phase of things and the blocking phase of things was something that really caught our attention at that position. It was unique. And, you know, to answer the second part of your question, you know, he should be a special teams contributor right out of the gate as he grows and learns as a receiver. And as a receiver, you have to build a confidence and a trust for the quarterback that, you know, that you can make a play for him. So that always takes a little bit of time, but we think that there's a lot of things that Chase Claypool will be able to do for us in 2020 and beyond.
Kevin Colbert with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Kevin, you've been adamant. You've reiterated it multiple times this offseason for those that maybe didn't want to hear it the first couple of times you mentioned it, that this offense is going to be better than it was in 2019 simply by the addition of a healthy Ben Roethlisberger, hopefully for an entire season. Is that what gives you the confidence and belief in James Conner as your number one running back, Juju Smith-Schuster as your number one wide receiver, that things will be better in 2020, the rising tide of Ben Roethlisberger being back will lift all those skill position boats on offense?
Yeah, I think so, Chris, because, you know, with a healthy Ben, unfortunately, you know, both James and Juju, they didn't have, you know, the Hall of Fame quarterback with them last year. So that affected them, as did their own health. And they both suffered acute injuries that, you know, we can always look at what happened and how it happened and will it happen again. Nobody knows. You know, all you can trust is the fact that the players will be in the best shape they can be and be prepared for a season, and you always hope for the best. But the thing that really keeps our optimism alive is not only having Ben back, but maybe even having a better Ben back. You know, I try to be optimistic in any situation. And, you know, when he sits for a year, he also rested the rest of his body for a year. Maybe the surgery will help him have even a stronger arm coming back. Those are the types of things I look for, and all indications are that he's on a solid course to be back full speed, which is can only help us and help those other players get back to the level they were at in 2018.
Kevin Colbert joining us here, Fan Morning Show. Text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates Fan Text Line, 412-928-9370. All right, Kevin, so you and Mike and Mr. Rooney have all been adamant and stayed the course on your confidence in Mason Rudolph, both on and off the field, everything that happened in Cleveland and his football playing abilities. Do you need to find out, though, this coming year if he is a franchise quarterback when Ben's days are finished, or decide to go ahead and facilitate the start of someone who would be the quarterback after Ben?
Yeah, I think, Colin, I mean, we're hopeful that, you know, Mason doesn't get to play a lot, quite honestly, because, you know, if he's not called on to play, that means that Ben's doing what we had hoped for. We're very comfortable with Mason, where he was last year. Again, as I stated before, he was 5-3 as a starter. You know, he had a bad game in Cleveland, and, you know, that was his first game back after the injury. You know, he sat out the Charger game, came back, and that was his first time back, and Cleveland played a good game, and quite honestly, we didn't, he didn't. You know, he tries to come back the next week against Cincinnati and probably tried to do things a little more than just to try to get the other game out of his system, and it went backwards on him. And, you know, coach made a change, and quite honestly, it was the right change, and no one, including Mason, would dispute that. But what we really liked about how he handled his benching was he was positive. He worked harder. He stayed the course. And when he was called on in the Jet game, he played his best quarter and a half. And unfortunately, he got hurt. So, you know, a lot of times we find out about ourselves when we're put in tough situations. And Mason was last year. And he responded both times, in my opinion. And we're very comfortable in where he'll be in year three. But quite honestly, we hope that Ben's out there the whole season.
Steelers general manager Kevin Colbert with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Let me go back to some of your draft picks, if you don't mind, Kevin. Let me ask about this kid from Charlotte, Alex Highsmith. What gives you the confidence level just in watching tape and again, not getting to interact too much? I know you guys had an interview with him, but your confidence level in him being able to have an impact right away as the perhaps the primary backup to T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree.
Yeah, throughout the fall, you know, we had two scouts go in through the fall, Mike Butler and Dan Rooney, and they both liked Alex, and they were saying, look, it looks like he's going to have a good season. He had a big game against Clemson, you know, the toughest competition they played. So this was a name that we knew when we get down to the East-West All-Star game, he's showing up in the practices and he's showing up in the game. So we say, okay, he's taking another step. We go to the combine. You know, we get verified on his height, weight, and he can run. And again, looks like he can do the athletic things necessary to be an outside linebacker for us. Great. You know, he would have been one of our 30 visits in the spring. Unfortunately, those got taken away, and we had to do a video conference with him. But in that conference, you know, Coach and I both felt very comfortable in the maturity level and the football character of this player. So everything was lined up to pick him where we did. It was probably where we thought that might be as high as we'd take him, but we knew we wouldn't get him in the fourth round if we didn't.
Is Anthony McFarland a guy that you want to get in and see what maybe different wrinkles Matt Canada can bring to the offense and do some things in terms of gimmicky is kind of a weird word, but do some things like that? Or is he a traditional, maybe moving forward, potentially an every down kind of back, Kevin?
You know, I think it's natural to make the association with Coach Canada and Anthony because Anthony had a nice year with Matt down at Maryland, and that's great. But when we looked at him, again, we recognized that talent in 2018 when he wasn't draft eligible. You know, our people went in and came back and said, hey, they got a nice one coming up at Maryland. So you always keep your eyes open. And of course, we scouted him this year. He came out a couple years early, and that was his decision. He didn't have a great year in 19 because of an ankle issue. But the one thing we know is he can give us a different dimension to our backfield combination because of his speed and his big playability, which he did on a big stage against a really good defense at Ohio State. So there's plenty of positives to like about the young man. And again, what piece he'll be we won't know until we get into camp, training camp, et cetera. But we do know that the piece that he can give us is something we'd like to add to the group we have.
Kevin, how do you guys feel in general about what you have behind Devin Bush and Vince Williams at inside linebacker, and more specifically, how you stack up at that dimebacker position that Mark Barron played last year? Could Antoine Brooks have any impact on that, or is Marcus Allen growing more after his first 2 years in the league?
Yeah, I mean, both those young men, you know, they have that capability because they're both bigger. You know, Marcus is longer. You know, Marcus probably plays about 215-ish, somewhere in that range. He can play in that box situation in that back end combination. Same thing with Antoine. Antoine did that at the University of Maryland. You know, when you look at a guy like Antoine, and there were several in the draft, and we look at him and we say, okay, in a base defense, what is he? Is he a safety? Is he a linebacker? Well, we think that Antoine would be a safety in our base defense, but in our sub packages, he'll be up around that box somewhere in some capacity, depending on what he proves he can do. So when we look at the depth inside, you know, we have Devin, we have Vince. We drafted Ulysses Gilbert last year, and Ulysses there really played the same type of position that Antoine Brooks did. But when you looked at him, you said his base, his position in the base defense would be at linebacker. So, again, he'll be a second-year player coming off an injury that set him back last year. But, again, that's part of that growth, and we got those guys in that mix. You know, we got Robert Spillane, who showed up after Ulysses got hurt and did a nice job on special teams in the short time that he was up, and he was a productive college player at Western Michigan. So we'll see what he can do. So we'll, you know, we don't know what that depth is because it's all young and unproven. So time will tell.
Couple more minutes with Kevin Colbert, Steelers general manager. Obviously, at 49, you still Dobbins and Akers were still on the board. Did you decide it was part of that because of the confidence level you have in James Conner? And is he your undeniable, without question, number one guy going into camp? And you feel as if he can return to Pro Bowl status, and you went receiver because of that? I mean, were you not even looking at a running back at that point, Kevin?
Well, we're always looking at what's available on the board. We are confident. Again, nobody can predict injury. All we can predict is the player's mindset, the player's, you know, health coming into the season and his preparation. And we're very comfortable in knowing that we'll have a ready James Conner when the season starts. None of us can say whether a player will get injured or not, and we have to be prepared for that. But we know that when James Conner is healthy, he's a Pro Bowl running back. So, yeah, we do have confidence in that, and we do have confidence in knowing that James will be prepared for 2020. When we looked at our receiving position, really over the course since Ben's been here, we've always had a deep threat part of that group, you know, Nate Washington to Mike Wallace to Martavis Bryant, and we really didn't have that aspect of it. That doesn't mean that you overrate a player because he is big and fast, but when you recognize someone that is big and fast and has the ability to also give you a big receiver, which we didn't have necessarily last year, but it was very intriguing. And, you know, any pick will always be measured around who was picked before him, after him, and so on and so forth. And we do the same drill. Before the draft, we went through a drill where myself and the scouts, we reviewed every draft pick that we've ever made and said, why was it good, why was it bad, who did we miss on? So that's something that's very common. It's something that we do to keep ourselves honest. But again, we felt very, very comfortable when Chase was available in that second round to make that pick.
Kevin, before we let you run, to go back to the backup quarterback situation, did you guys explore at all? I know your confidence in Mason Rudolph as your backup to Ben Roethlisberger, and I'm in step with that confidence in Mason Rudolph, but did you guys explore at all with veteran quarterbacks becoming available as possible backups, the idea of that, Jameis Winston, Cam Newton, guys like that?
We're always going to watch what's out there. It's my job to evaluate any position, any player that happens to be available. And we do that, but I can honestly say that we absolutely made no negotiation or any offer to any veteran quarterback.
All right, fair enough. So that should answer Andrew Filippone's question. Kevin, last thing before we let you go, are you still year to year? Are you still taking it in those terms? And how did that proposition work for you last year, did you think?
Yes, we are. And, you know, we're very comfortable with that. Fortunately, Mr. Rooney is. And I think it's an honest opinion or honest feeling about where we are personally, but it also is reflective of what we have to do professionally. You know, we have not been in the playoffs for the last 2 years, and that's not something that we're comfortable with. It's not something that the organization should be comfortable with. And we approach it that, look, we have to prove ourselves in 2020, and that's my mindset. Personally, it's a preference, and that's fine that they accept that. But professionally, we don't accept it. We don't accept not being in the playoffs. That's way below the standards of this organization, and we just push ourselves in that year-to-year approach, and it's not we can't find any comfort beyond 2020, and that's our job to create that, and we'll see where things stand after that season.
Kevin, stay safe. We thank you so very much. We'll catch up down the road, and hopefully we have football sooner rather than later.
Hey, you guys, too. Now, take care.
All right, there's Thanks, Kevin. Colbert. Just great. Great stuff from him. Yeah. Lots to dissect. We get back into that. Chris, I think there's a lot to pull apart from that interview for sure.
Yeah.
There's a confidence level. And you know what? The Claypool stuff is really interesting to me, that it feels like it's going to be a slower process than I think some people like to see with maybe your first pick, even though it was a second rounder.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.